Good morning, everybody. How are you today? For those of you who don't know me, my name is Rob, and there we go, perfect. It's a privilege to be able to share with you this morning. Let's pray before we continue. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that there is life-changing power in your word. I ask that through your Holy Spirit that you would speak to us today. Continue to make us more like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, yesterday, it was our son Pete's birthday. And on three occasions in this past week, Pete's come up to me and goes, "Dad, have your mum got me a present yet? Have you been to the shops and got me something?" And that got me thinking about, well, what sort of present should I give to Pete? This is from me, all right, not from both of us, all right, or the family. So the first present I had was, it's a nice green box. As you can see, it's got good reflection there. I can see myself in the shine there as well. It's nicely wrapped. I obviously didn't wrap it myself. So that was present number one. And the other present was a good old paper bag. And so, yes, there's something in that one. And, yeah, there's something in that one as well. The paper bag, as you can see, it's pretty scrunched up. It's obviously been used before. So I thought I'd take a quick vote. Who reckons I should go for present number one? Nice shiny box here. A couple of you, yep. Awesome, cool. What about present number two? A few more, all right. Okay, well, let's have a quick look to see what's inside. Present number one. Ooh, that's a pair of my smelly smocks. Yep, they're smelly. Yep, good present, that one. Present number two. Ah, Matchbox car. A chocolate bar. That's always good. There's a bookmark. God will always take care of you. That's always a good promise. And bubbles. Bubbles are a favourite. So, present one, present two. As you can see, the outside, it can be quite deceiving, can't it? What was inside was not as good as, you know, what we were hoping it to be. And as we've been looking at King Saul, I think we've discovered also with King Saul that, you know, King Saul, he was chosen to be king over Israel. In 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 2, we read that Saul, he was a handsome young man without equal among the Israelites. And he was a head taller than everyone else. So Saul, he was a handsome bloke. He was more attractive than everyone else. And if we went just on looks, you know, Saul, he should have been the perfect king to lead God's people. But unfortunately, Saul was a bit like this present. You know? Looks can be deceiving. On the inside, he wasn't as good as what it would appear. And as we continue reading in verses 3 and 4, we read, Jonathan attacked the Philistine outpost at Geba. And the Philistines heard about it. Then Saul had the trumpet blown throughout the land and said, "Let the Hebrews hear." So all Israel heard the news. Saul has attacked the Philistines' outpost. And now Israel has become obnoxious to the Philistines. And the people were summoned to join Saul at Gilgal. Now Jonathan, he was Saul's son. And it was Jonathan that attacked the Philistine outpost. But who took the credit for the victory? It was Saul. Saul did. Now, Saul, he could have been humble. He could have told the truth about what had happened, and he could have given the credit to his son Jonathan. But instead, Saul took the credit for a battle that his son won. And here we can see pride starting to show itself in Saul's life. And when pride is left unchecked, It can dramatically change a person. And someone who is full of pride, they start to think that they're the best. They take all the credit and glory for themselves. And you could even say their head gets bigger. And that is exactly what happened to Saul. Now, in each of our lives, there can be humility and there can also be pride. And the amounts of humility and pride, they can vary in each of us. Yet in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, it says, "Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love." Now, what were the first three words of that verse that I read out. They say, be completely humble. So according to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, how humble are we to be? Is it 50%? No. Is it 75%? No. What about 99.9999%? No. We are to be completely humble. That means we need to be able to give credit where credit is due, to make sure that we don't go around boasting about how good we are. And the challenge is there for each of us, as we need to examine our own lives and make sure that pride is not affecting or changing our behaviour. And if you want to take it to the next level, you can ask a close friend, someone that you trust, if they can see any areas in your life where pride is present. Now, once the Philistines had heard that Jonathan had attacked the outpost at Geba, the Philistines, they weren't happy customers. And in verse 5, we read, the Philistines assembled to fight Israel with 3,000 chariots, 6,000 charioteers, and soldiers as numerous as the sand on the seashore. They went up and camped at Michmash, east of Beth-Aven. Now, soldiers as numerous as the sand. That must have been a lot of soldiers. Saul is now facing a battle that looks impossible to win. And as we keep reading, we read in verses 6 and 7, when the Israelites saw their situation was critical and the army was hard-pressed, they hid in caves and thickets among the rocks and in pits and in cisterns. Some Hebrews even crossed the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. Saul remained at Gilgal, and all the troops with him were quaking with fear. Saul, he was in a difficult situation. The Philistine army, they far outnumbered Israel's army. And as a result, the Israelite soldiers, they were running away and hiding out of fear. Now, last week, we heard how Samuel had stepped aside, and Saul, he was now the official leader of the people of Israel. But Samuel, he hasn't gone away. His role, yes, it's changed. But as God's servant, Samuel gave Saul some pretty clear instructions. And in 1 Samuel 10, verse 8, we read that Samuel said to Saul, go down ahead of me to Gilgal. I will surely come down to you to sacrifice burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. But you must wait 7 days until I come to you and tell you what to do. Now here, Samuel, he's told Saul what to do. And obviously, Saul listened and obeyed. But now, Saul, he was under pressure. The Israelites, they're about to go into battle against this huge army. And normally, before the Israelites went into battle, they offered prayer and sacrifices. So Saul was waiting for Samuel. And in the past, he'd turned up. But obviously, this time, he was running a little bit late. And you can imagine the scene. The Philistines, they are growing bolder. The Israelites, they are getting more and more discouraged. And as each day passed, Saul's army was deserting him. Saul was losing the battle before it had even started. Now, can I have a quick show of hands? Who at some stage has done some cooking in the kitchen? Probably most of us. Yep, most of us. That's good. Now, in order to be successful in the kitchen with what you're cooking, you need to follow the recipe, don't you? And that means you follow the instructions. For example, imagine that you're making a chocolate cake, you've put the flour in. You wouldn't then go and add salt instead of sugar, would you? You wouldn't go and get some brown dirt from outside instead of cocoa. You just wouldn't do that. Because if you did, well, your chocolate cake, it wouldn't taste very good, and I don't think you'd win any cooking competitions either. Well, Samuel gave Saul some pretty clear instructions. And Saul carried out some of those instructions. He waited the 7 days, like Samuel had said. But he became impatient. He didn't wait for Samuel to arrive. And Saul then went and took matters into his own hands. And in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 9, we read what Saul did. Saul said, bring me the burnt offering and the fellowship offerings. And Saul offered up the burnt offering. Now, when cooking, you have to follow the recipe, don't you, in order for the finished product to end up what you want it to be. Well, Saul should have followed the instructions that Samuel had given to him from God. But Saul disobeyed God. And Saul's actions reveal his lack of faith in God and his disobedience to God's commands. Now, Saul is a bit like present number one over here. He looked good on the outside, but on the inside, it was quite different. And in verse 11, Samuel questions Saul for what he's done. And then in verse 12, we read the list of excuses that Saul uses. He blames his men for deserting him. He blames Samuel for not being there. He blames the enemy for being ready to attack. He blames everyone, but he doesn't take responsibility for his own actions. Now, disobedience is a sin, and there is never a good reason why we can't follow God's instructions. And for most of us here, I'm sure that you could think of situations in your own life where you've had to trust God and be obedient. And it isn't always easy, especially as we, as humans, we like to be in control. We like to do things in our own strength and our own way. But that isn't what God is about. It's when we're under pressure that our true spiritual character is revealed. The methods and ways that we complete our goals and tasks, they're just as important as the finished outcome. And in verses 13 to 14, Samuel tells Saul that he's made a foolish mistake by not obeying God's commands. Because if Saul had have waited, his army, they would have gone into the battle with the Lord's blessings. His army, they would have won quickly. And Saul's family, they would have experienced the blessing of God for many generations to come. And one thing that I find amazing is that previously in chapters 9 and 10, when Saul was out looking for his father's donkey, Samuel, who was a prophet, he spoke to Saul and he told him three things that would happen. And all those things happened. Saul listened, he trusted God and obeyed. And now we see how Saul has changed and he's starting to do things his own way. And as believers, we're sometimes like King Saul. And we might have followed Jesus for a long time. We might have had those God moments in our lives where things have happened and we know that that only happened because of God. But yet as time goes by, we forget about those events and we end up like Saul. And we do our own things in our own strength and we disobey God. But the good news is that when we confess our sins, when we turn away from our sins, when we ask God to help us, God helps us. He gets us back on track so that we can continue to live for Him. King Saul, he had the opportunity to get back on track with God. He could have been heartbroken when Samuel spoke to him about being disobedient. Saul could have confessed his disobedience and prayed for forgiveness and trusted God to lead him as the king. But that didn't happen. Instead, we read how Saul, he continued to do his own thing and be disobedient. And in 1 Samuel chapter 15, Samuel said to King Saul, "Go and attack the Amalekites and totally destroy all that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put to death men and women, children and infants, cattle and sheep, camels and donkeys." Sounds pretty harsh, doesn't it? But God was punishing the Amalekites because they were the first ones to attack the Israelites as they entered the promised land after fleeing Egypt. And God gave Saul these clear instructions that they were to totally destroy the Amalekites. But we read again that Saul did his own thing. He let Agag live along with the best of the sheep and the cattle, the fat calves and the lambs. Saul was given another chance to be obedient, but he chose to do what he wanted to do and he disobeyed God. Now, as I was preparing for today, I was looking at the names of Saul and Samuel. And I noticed that there's only two letters that are different in each of these names. And they're the letters M and E, which spells me. And it's like Saul has taken these two letters and he's used them as his motto. M-E, me. Everything is about me. No, King Saul, not me, all right? And Saul, he did what he wanted to do. He blatantly disobeyed God. He ignored those who were there to help him. He blamed others. He didn't take responsibility for his own actions. And Saul did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And the challenge for each of us this morning is, are we like Saul and living our life for ourselves? Are we making excuses and blaming others when things don't turn out the way we want? Or are we living for God, being obedient to the things that God has called us to, confessing and repenting from any sin that might be present in our life? And I'd like to close by saying that God works through people who are far from perfect and ideal. And we've seen that this morning with Saul. And as we read the Old Testament and the New Testament, and as we study history, we see that God uses all kinds of people to accomplish his purposes and fulfill his promises. And Saul is one of those people. And in spite of his weaknesses and sins, we read in chapter 14 how God used Saul to deliver Israel from bondage to the surrounding nations. And if God can use a man like Saul, we can be assured that God will also use us too. And I'm certainly encouraged knowing that God is not limited to using just those who are perfect. Now, this isn't an excuse for our imperfections or our sins, but it does give us hope that God can and does use frail, sinful people to accomplish his will. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love each of us. And I thank you that you have a plan for each of us. And Lord, I ask this morning that you'll help us to remain obedient to you. Help us to be people who are humble, remembering that you can use sinful people to accomplish your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And for each of us, we don't have to be like King Saul. We don't have to go down in history as someone who started out well and then let sin and disobedience keep you from finishing the race well. So we're going to pause for a moment. And then I'd like to invite you to join with me as we say a confession together. Just praying to God and saying sorry for the wrong things that we've done. Would you please join with me as we pray? O Lord, our God, you know us better than we know ourselves. As we come before you now, believers and doubters alike, we all share a deep need, for we are all lost without your grace. Search us, O God, and know our hearts. Test us and know our troubled thoughts. Give us true repentance. Forgive us all our wrongs. Transform us by your Spirit to live for you each day, to learn to serve each other, and through the grace of Jesus Christ our Lord, to come at last to heaven. Amen.